MoneyWeb now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. Chatting with Wafika Lakhadien. She's head of debt capital markets at Future Growth Asset Management. Wafika, appreciate the time. We've seen strong 2025 vehicle sales. It's continued into this year. April a bit quieter, but maybe that was more about public holidays. If we look at about, 70% of light vehicle sales now being imports, most notably China and India, does this change the local manufacturing base? Does it bring credit sort of risk profile to finance lenders as we see the shift in the vehicle composition?
Yeah, so I mean, if I maybe just to paint a picture around, you know, the South African auto sector, I mean, we have quite a few OEMs, you know, Toyota, Volkswagen, BMW, Ford, Isuzu, Mercedes-Benz and Nissan. So they're all producers, manufacturers here in South Africa, but it's only a subset of them that actually issue debt in the debt capital markets. So from a broader sector-specific view, I mean, yeah, 2025 was a bumper year for the sector. It increased by 15.7% for the year of 2025. Mm-hmm. And April, I mean, yes, it is lower than March because of all the public holidays. But if we look at April as a month, year on year, it's been the best year since 2013. Mm. So it is a booming market. And we are seeing that shift in terms of consumers buying down in a sense that, you know, the competition coming through from the Chinese manufacturers offering sort of mid to high end vehicles at a much more competitive rate. So we are seeing the composition moving more towards the Chinese vehicles. Mm-hmm. And from a manufacturing point, I mean, we're even seeing the Nissan manufacturer plant in Pretoria. The Chery Group is taking over that and will be refitting that for the SUVs. So yeah, it's been a lot of change in the auto sector. But from a debt capital market perspective, the issuers that come to market, it's not necessarily only the manufacturing arm, but it also includes the finance books. So when a consumer is looking for a vehicle loan to purchase, for example, their Mercedes-Benz, that's part of what they're raising funding for, is to finance these vehicle loans. I mean, last year was a great year in the sense that, you know, consumers were benefiting from, you know, lower interest rates and the like. So that really boosted the ability and the affordability to qualify for these vehicle loans. So yeah, 2025 was a good year. 2026 is not too bad if you're looking at April figures, you know, for the last, say, 10, 15 years. Yeah, and we're seeing a lot of composition changes with the new entrants coming into the market.
I was unaware that some of these OEMs, Toyota, Mercedes, Daimler, were actually raising money locally in ZAR and actually getting really, really good prices. I mean, in some cases, better than bank debt. And I get why they need the cash. You've explained that to me. But I mean, the market really likes that debt.
Yes. So on a standalone basis, you know, these OEMs are exposed to a lot of, you know, local, domestic, South African risk. Mm-hmm. But how they've structured their debt facilities is that they get guarantees from their parent holding companies that sit offshore, right? Sit in Germany, sit in Japan, and the treasury company. So they can leverage off the credit quality of their parent that is, you know, a large global company that has, you know, a presence across the globe.
Yep.
And they rely effectively on this parental guarantee. And on a national scale basis, those guarantees, you know, translate into, call it a AAA or AA+ rating on a national scale. And if you compare that to the banks, which are around slightly lower rated, because they are obviously also, they have a ceiling, a sovereign ceiling in terms of the credit rating. So from a credit risk perspective, because of the parental guarantee coming from offshore parents, they are able to attract tighter pricing than what the banks are able to raise in the DCM market.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And the bank's sovereign, I always remember that. The bank can't have a higher...
The sovereign ceiling.
Yep, they can't have a higher than the sovereign. So my next question is going to be, we've seen these spreads tightening. Demand is obviously pushed. The quality is undeniable. The demand then pushes the yields down because, of course, that bonds have got that inverse relationship. My question is going to be, does the risk reward still make it worth it? I suspect the answer is probably then yes.
Yeah, so I mean, this is not just for the auto sector, but in the DCM market as a whole, the credit spreads have been compressing for a number of years now. And I suppose it's a question every investor's mind around, you know, when will be that inflection point? When will spreads begin to rise? So as a whole, credit does seem a bit more on the expensive side.
I suppose it is. I mean, with debt generally, it is that risk reward. And to your point, if we're seeing, I don't know, risk levels perhaps coming off, the market is perhaps paid less for it as risk comes off the table to a degree. That is how a bond market would work at a high level.
Yes. I mean, if you look at the DCM space and the credit spreads across the board, across all the sectors, credit spreads have been narrowing for quite some time. I mean, I suppose it is a question on all the investors' mind as to, you know, when would the cycle turn? When will spreads begin to rise? Because they are quite low and they do appear to be quite expensive at this point in time. And the driver behind that is largely the imbalance between supply and demand. So there's limited supply of debt issuance in the market, i.e. the corporates or the OEMs coming to market, and there's a lot of demand from investors. So that's one element that puts pressure on the spreads. But if you look purely at the oversubscription rate, so in auction, it could usually come raise the market in an auction, and you can still see the demand is really high. There's usually oversubscription rates of 2 to 3 times, sometimes higher. So there's definitely demand from investors, even at these price levels. So yeah, so if we look purely at clearing spreads and the demand from investors, one could assume that investors are of the view that they are adequately being compensated for the risk that they are taking.
Yeah, I take a point. And it is that, I mean, ultimately everything, supply and demand, particularly the bond market, no different. We'll leave that there. That's Sofika Lakhadian, Head of Debt Capital Markets, Future Growth Asset Management. Appreciate the time. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions.